Blog Talk Radio.
Here and welcome back to Multicultural Moments. It has been 2 years and 2 months. 2 years since I last did the show. The last time I did the show was January 15th, 2014, when I first decided to return. The title of the show was Recapping My 1 Year Hiatus. And I thought it was a year. But then when I looked at my last show, it was 2 years. So I had to change the title. 2 years. I cannot believe it's been that long. And that's what is happening. Once you reach 35, the years fly by and you kind of lose track how they go by so fast. I thought it was just a year. That is scary. You know, when you're in school, you're elementary school, junior high, you can't wait summer break and it takes forever to go from September to June. But when you get a certain age, that's a blink of an eye, honey. Ooh. Well, I'm back. I might not do a show every week. I used to kind of try and do it every week, like on a Sunday afternoon. But now I'm just going to kind of let it flow because I am the type of person who does things when they feel like it. You really can't control me, you know. I try to abide by the rules, but I really can't be controlled. I usually don't know what I'm going to do until I actually show up. And that's bad, except when it comes to my art. I wear many hats. I'll work like a dog. I'll go without sleep or anything for my art. But any other part of my life, I'm like a flake. So I'm back. If you're not listening now live, that's cool. It will be on demand. I know it's Friday night and everybody's probably out shaking their booty someplace, and that's cool. So make sure you check it out later. Okay, why has it been so long? I said, like, I pretty much do things whimsically sometimes. The last show that I did was on autism. And I was inspired to cover that topic, which I would have covered anyway, but eventually. But I was inspired to cover it when in October of 2013, apparently 2013, a young boy left school without supervision. An autistic boy, Avante Oquendo, and he was missing from October until they found parts of his body in January. I had been trying to schedule that show, and I kept putting it off, procrastinating. Like I said, I just go with the flow. And my shows are always like on a Sunday, pretty much, you know, in the afternoon, maybe early evening. And I have a dance floor friend, Denise Goodard, who has a handsome autistic young man, and I wanted her to be my guest. So it was kind of like last minute thing. I said, listen, we're going to do this on Wednesday. I never did a show on Wednesday. Wednesday evening, we're going to do it Wednesday night. And it was a wonderful show on autism. I learned so much. We even had a caller from England who called in. And it was a very nice show. And we did mention Avante. That was on a Wednesday, on January 15th. On Thursday night, I believe I was watching the news, the 11 o'clock news. The next day, after our show, and they announced that they had found body parts in the river and near on the banks of the river that they believed to belong to Avante. I was just like shocked. I was happy that they eventually found him. Of course, sad that he was not alive. And then the irony of finally doing the show on a day I would not necessarily do it ordinarily. And the irony that they found his body the next day. It just kind of knocked the wind out of me. I guess I just don't know what it was, but something about, ever since then, I just could not do another show. I had scheduled shows, but I just never followed up on them. I didn't, you know, have the show. I just did not do it. And I looked at my history. I did schedule two shows after that time, but I just never followed through on it. And I thought it was only a year, but it's been 2 years. Before I was just feeling like I was ready to do another show. Like I said, it's not going to be a weekly show. It'll be whenever, you know, maybe it's once or twice a month. But I just had a block. I couldn't, after that, I guess, I don't know. It was just so shocking, the irony of doing the show on autism and him finally being found the next night. Just blew me away. So I don't know if that is the reason that I just could not return in 2 years, but it definitely did knock the wind out of me. It just did. So that being said, I want to thank Denise Goodard again for guesting on that show. That was the last show I did. And her son, just a sweetheart, growing up into a handsome young man. And, you know, look out for people. Look out, they need us. Look out for everybody. It's just such a sad story to be have him be found like that. And it just blew me away. I don't know what his mother have been going through. I would have just been a wreck. But I'm back. It was 2 years ago. And I'm in my bedroom sipping wine. The show now is going to be a little more, instead of being more formal, trying to be like a broadcaster or a journalist, this is going to be a little more informal, where I may be sipping some wine or, you know, just kind of laid back. I'm hanging in my bedroom. That's where it is. Yeah, I'm not in a broadcast studio. I'm in my bedroom. So what the hell have I been doing the past 2 years? God, a lot has happened. The years fly by, and I really can't keep track even of my time as far as what's been going on. You know, oh my God, I did that play, was that in 2013? Or I thought it was 2014. You know, I really, it's just going by so fast. So, at some point, I wrote a trilogy called Women You Thought You Knew. And you know, I use the arts. My mission is to create stories, projects that give complex roles, complex characters for women and other underrepresented groups, and that glare at social issues through engrossing storytelling. That is my mission. So everything that I have written, every play that I have written, every screenplay I have adapted from my plays covered social issues, had leading female roles, had mature women in the mix, had gays, had, you know, all types of ethnic groups in the mix. So I am really fulfilling my mission. By accident or not, it is happening. I am doing it and then loving it. I don't find it hard to do because I'm African American, quote unquote. I don't even really go by that because that says something that's not really true. But I do not write black plays. I write plays about people who happen to be whatever. Okay? So that's what I do, and I'm fulfilled. That is my lover. That is my joy. That is my passion. And I have been spending all my time and all of what little money that I have to go towards those projects. And we want diversity, but, you want diversity? Well, my motto is a good story should not go untold because of money being a factor. And I call myself, I renamed my production company instead of Wilson Exclusive Talent Productions. It's now Wilson Exclusive Talent and Bronx Guerrilla Production because I use guerrilla tactics. I have a guerrilla mentality to get the job done, you know, without support, without anything. Yeah, I'm grateful for the friends who have donated and everything and believing in me. But if I go to the big people or if I put on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, ain't nobody got my back. And I tried it and it didn't work. So everybody's crying about diversity, but those people are not supporting. And so all these good stories out there, and I'm not talking about mine particularly, there's a lot of voices that are silent because nobody is supporting them. So they could cry about and protest and boycott all they want, but until they put their money where their mouth is, then I don't really want to hear it because I'm out here busting my butt. I would like to buy a car. I would like to take a trip, but I am dedicated to getting a good story told, and it's hard. Thank God I wear many hats. I'll drive. I'll do costumes, I'll do stage managing, I'll move things around, I'll do whatever it needs to be done to get the job done so that a story can be told. I'm not above it. Yeah, I'm the writer, I'm the director, I'm the producer, but I'll do anything. I'll mop the floor, I'll do whatever needs to be done. I'll make the food to get the job done. And like I said, save my little pennies to get the job done. I believe in my work, and I sacrifice for my work. And a lot of people just, you know, don't do it. And they're not getting the support. So that's why I changed the name to Wilson Exclusive Talent Productions. Wilson Exclusive Talent and Bronx Guerrilla Productions, because I'm born and raised in the South Bronx, and I'm a guerrilla. So there we go. Put your money where the mouth is, where your mouth is, and support projects, good stories. Because, honey, you could have a $10 million, $100 million budget, but if your story is shit, it's going to stay shit. But if you have a good story and very little money, it will go a long way, believe me, because I basically have no budget. But believe me that already, well, we'll get into that. So here's what I've been doing. Here's what I have been doing. Basically, I wrote a trilogy dealing with social issues, of course. You name it, it's covered. But basically, the theme of the trilogy, Women You Thought You Knew, is about society's so-called bad girls and basically how women are perceived differently than men, like I say, if they have multiple sex partners or they like to party or whatever, a man will be viewed like a hero or whatever, but a woman is just totally different. So it's about three different women. One is called The Grinder, which is set during the 1970s about a stripper past her prime who finds it very hard to dance her way off the runway, even though her bones are aching, because she's obsessed with survival because of feelings of being abandoned as an adolescent, and she had a sense for herself. So she's really hungry for that money. And then the second one is about a church lady with a past called Silk Stockings and a Bible, set during the swing era, about a former chorus girl who had a very glamorous life as a chorus girl in Harlem and Atlantic City, who eventually becomes a church lady as she got older, and she's beginning to reminisce and wonder are her regrets of the austere present or the fabulous, spicy, sassy past. And the last play in the trilogy is called Wild Child, about a Chinese-American, set during the disco era, about a Chinese-American party animal, party girl, who's kind of viewed as a misfit by her judgmental, image-conscious family. So she's kind of like rejected, dejected, disregarded. She's not, nobody really sees the gem that they have, that the diamond that she is. A strung-out, shell-shocked Vietnam vet. They become friends. And then also an Afro-Chinese relative from the Bahamas shows up at the family's doorstep because her father, which was her grandfather, passed away, and she came up to the States for the funeral. So basically it's a train wreck waiting to happen. So all these characters, it's multi-ethnic, you know, and Wild Child is Chinese American leads. There's a Jewish guy who plays the veteran who plays the veteran. There's a Latina and Latino also supporting actors. So I have everybody in the mix. In Silk Stockings and Bible, we have, you know, Italian American character playing a wise guy, but he's actually Latino, but he plays the wise guy very well. And we have, you know, African-Americans. We have all types. In the first play, The Grinder, the lead is Italian-American. And we have all types of ethnic groups in that play as well. So, listen, I mix it up. And the stories are interesting. When you talk about people, backgrounds with diverse, you know, walks of life, it makes life, it makes plays, it makes stories more interesting. And, of course, what else I haven't been doing? Wow. Oh, and that's going to be a play series. All three plays, the trilogy will run in the same run, which is very rare that all three stories of a trilogy runs in the same run, in the same, you know, situation. I'm also going to add my Creole play to the mix, which will make it a play series. So that's coming this summer. I think in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have the cast of Wild Child come on board to talk about Chinese Americans, Chinese actors, and the problems they may be having in being cast and finding roles, because we're in rehearsal for a workshop production that's going to be held April 24th here in New York at the Crane Theater. And so I think I'll have them come on board before the show. And then, of course, my supernatural mystery thriller, A Wound in Time, which was seen, I first produced off Broadway at the legendary New Eureka Poets Cafe. Let me take a bite of my pretzel rod. I bought a big bucket of pretzel rods that I was supposed to take to rehearsal on Sunday to my cast, but I forgot them. Time left to eat them all. They're so addicting. Anyway, A Wound in Time, which had an off Broadway run back in 2010, which was my first play. And then it had an off Broadway run in 2014 or 13. whenever it was Hurricane Sandy. And the reaction from the audience was the same. They were just enthralled and excited, on edge of their seats. They laughed, they cried, everything. I had adapted it to a screenplay in 2009. It was a quarter and some of my finalists in two international contests. So I said, hey, this story has been tried and tested. We're going for filming the film. So last year, scraping my little pennies together, every time I got a few dollars, we filmed some scenes. We started filming in May of last year. Then we filmed some more scenes in October. And I'm saving my little pennies. Hopefully in May we'll resume filming where I can shoot for a whole week instead of a day at a time to, you know, finally kind of get this done. And I've already been approached by a distributor in Los Angeles who apparently saw little footage that I might have posted on YouTube or something, but they contacted me, and we'll see what happens. But that's the story. Getting the story told, a good story, believe me, if my story wasn't good, that's why I'm re-workshopping Wild Child. It already had a workshop production last year, but I was not satisfied. I got to get it tight before we go on, before we move on. And that's how I roll, because I'm not going to embarrass myself. You know, I'm not going to put my stuff out there if it's not right. So that's the story. Oh, how much time we got? 8 minutes. Call in 646-564-9939 if you have any comments, any suggestions for topics. It's good to be back. It's good to be laying in my bedroom, nibbling on pretzel rods and sipping Chardonnay. It's good to be able to share. And I'm not going to talk about politics because this stuff is too crazy, the stuff that's going on. I am not going to waste my energy into that craziness. We're going to talk about more productive things. I bitch and everything on my Facebook page. But I am not going to waste your time or mine talking about this craziness on this radio show. We'll talk about change, making a difference, supporting, fighting for change. And that's what this show is all about. It's about diversity. I also have been trying to, many of us, me included, we do not know our ancestry because we're descendants of African enslaved Africans, or either we were adopted, or either we were abandoned by one parent or both, or maybe in a Holocaust, whatever. Some of us do not know our ancestry. We do not know our roots. So I have a campaign on people, for the government, for the president, to look at a petition to offer an option, if you want to know your ancestry via DNA, that you can get a coupon, you can get something, tax credit, so that you can have get a DNA test and find out your roots, not just for the psychological benefit and having a legacy to pass down, but for medical reasons, health reasons. When the doctor looks at you and sees a white person or sees a black person, they're making a function. They don't know that possibly the white person could have some African ancestry and maybe might be prone to sickle cell. Or they don't know the black person might have some European ancestry and might be prone to some other kind of disease. So this is, I have the link on the page. And please, we have until March 25th, need 100,000 signatures before the president will even look at it. And that's what we have a long way to go. You want to go over there and sign that petition? Believe me, it's for, you know, think of how many people have died unnecessarily because doctors didn't have the patient did not have the needed information that could have saved their lives. And also, like I said, the sense of well-being and being rooted and something that you could pass down to your people. No matter how you came up with an ancestry, you are who you are. So we have to embrace who we are. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to have self-hatred. And a lot of us have self-hatred because of whatever assumptions we might have. But anyway, we have 4 minutes. Oh, my God, this is going by so fast, and I'm enjoying it. Let me have another sip of wine. And like I said, it doesn't look like anybody's on here live on chat, but some folks might be listening. And you could always listen on demand. But I can tell you right now that I'm having the best time of my life in all these years to finally be grounded, locked in with a purpose, with a passion, and that I would die for it. You know, it's so fulfilling. I'm fulfilling my passion. And I hope that I live long enough to continue the work, to complete the work, to complete everything that I've started, to at least have something behind that looks at social issues, that gives actors of all shades, all walks of life, all sex, genders, an opportunity to work. Remember, one play can give thousands and thousands and thousands of actors work for years to come. And I have 6 plays under my belt. That's a lot of work. Shakespeare's work is being done. Socrates' work is being done. All these ancient works are still being done. They have given, their writings have given so much work to actors worldwide. A play never ends. A play is new every time, with a new director, with a new venue, with a new cast. It just never dies, and it constantly gives work to people. So if work is being created that deals with social issues, that involves all ethnic groups, all people of all ages, to give them an opportunity to work as actors, it's, you know, God, what have I done? I have given work for years to come to people, actors, to my fellow actors. And I want to continue to do that. Meantime, I like directing my work. I like acting in my work as well when I can. And eventually I will be putting it out there so that others can use it for years to come. And if that's what I leave behind, I'm happy. I'm hoping people that would want to do that. Anyway, I'm going to go now. My time is up. And thank you so much for tuning in or listening in to On Demand. I love you. Have a multicultural moment. Ciao. Link. See you soon.